am so good to be back today. It's the last day of 2009.
Yes, it's New Year's Eve.
Maybe we can be snatched away to Never Never Land today.
Yeah, we're going to get to Never Never Land. But first, think about what we said yesterday, ladies and gentlemen. In the body of Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek. And here's a shocking statement. I make these for a living. Peter, the apostle, is not in the body of Christ. Peter, James, John are not in the body of Christ.
Neither would they have confessed to be.
Neither would they have confessed to be.
Proof? They never mention it once in their letters or in their preaching.
Must have been an oversight.
Big oversight.
Second proof is that our Lord confirmed that they will be sitting on 12 thrones. What a coincidence. There were 12 of them, and there's going to be 12 thrones. And they're going to be judging the 12 tribes of Israel.
You remember our buddy who wrote in that letter that, that all are one in Christ?
Yes.
What a major oversight for James. James writes to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Of course, that doesn't really mean the 12 tribes. It means the members of the body of Christ. Peter writes to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia. He writes to the strangers scattered, the diaspora, the scattered ones. These are Jews. Peter, James, and John are for the circumcision. They never saw the distinction.
Bob in Birmingham is right in that everyone in the body of Christ is one.
That's right.
He's right about
exactly,
that.
But he doesn't mean that.
No, but he doesn't mean that. No. He's saying that anybody, as he says, I will quote him, well, it doesn't matter if you're an ethnic Jew, an African, or American. Once you believe in Christ, you're in Christ. And he says that, again, he's making the emphasis that distinctions of Jew, Greek don't matter in the body of Christ. And that's true in the body of Christ. But again, Peter and the other 11 belong to another body of people called the Bride of the Lamb. Mm-hmm. And they never heard of the body of Christ until the Apostle Paul was called. I'll say something else radical. The Apostle Paul was the first member in the body of Christ, and there was never such a thing. Nobody even heard of the body of Christ. The best thing an Israelite could expect is to be part of the bride. They wanted to marry Jehovah. That was the whole picture, the parable God gave them as a husband and a bride, a bride's groom and a bride. They wanted to be part of the bride. The body of Christ can't be the bride. It's part of the body. It's part of the groom. Can't be the bride and the groom.
Right.
And so this really isn't that complicated. Within the body, there is neither Jew nor Greek, and that proves that Peter and the 11 are not in the body because they still recognize the distinctions throughout Scripture, neither Jew nor Greek. Peter even said in one of his letters, the things Paul said are hard to understand.
That's right.
He did not grasp the totality of this message. And again,
neither was he intended to do so.
Yeah, and again, this message came on a day in history when the Apostle Paul was called on the road to Damascus. And here's another mocking statement from this letter that I take offense to. Oh, I know. It was because they were Jews. That's why. I'll start here. Why didn't they, the Jews, while burning on Nero's fiery stakes, get raptured? Oh, I know. It was because they were Jews. And only the church gets raptured to some far-off never-never land until they all come back riding on horses along with Jesus' big white horse and kill off all the bad guys who serve Antichrist. What do you make of that, Dan?
A mental block. I mean, if anyone's anti-Semite, he is, because he writes them all off. God's done with the Jews.
You know, and this, he says, why didn't those burning on Nero's stakes get raptured? You might as well ask.
It's like arguing with a child. It's such a childish argument.
Well, you might as well ask, why didn't the early Israelites in bondage in Egypt get the Exodus?
Right.
Okay, let's put the Exodus as their version of the snatching away.
Yeah.
Why did they were in Egypt in bondage for 400 years?
Yeah, why didn't that first couple?
Why did they suffer? It's because it goes back to what we were teaching for 2 weeks, that God is timing. It's all about timing. And besides, we said this before, Israel is going to inherit the earth, Matthew 5:5.
Yeah.
They're going to inherit the earth, and so why the heck would you snatch them away to the heavens? If you don't distinguish these two callings,
exactly. You
won't know that. I really have a problem with this far-off Never Never Land comment.
It's that. That's almost a mock of God there.
It is.
And, I mean, is the Lord Jesus in far off Neverland right now? Because we're saying we're going the same place he is.
Well, I don't think Bob in Birmingham thinks that heaven is a place.
Probably not. Probably not.
I don't think.
If he's post-millennial, I myself
didn't believe that.
Well, but if he's a professing believer of God,
yeah,
and he reads the scriptures, how can you? Where's Christ right now? Is he in Never Never Land?
No, he's somewhere.
Where is he?
He can be located. He's a being.
You can locate him.
God, you cannot locate.
God is spirit.
He's omnipresent. He's spirit, and does not have a body.
Well, we can locate Jesus Christ.
Yes, he has coordinates.
If we had the proper rocket ship from NASA.
And seriously now. There,
seriously. I'm seriously, serious. You can.
Yes, he is somewhere
exactly.
Right now. He is somewhere. And that's an exciting thought.
And according to that letter, he's in Never Never Land.
Yeah, like there is no heaven.
Yeah.
And where does the New Jerusalem descend out of heaven?
From Never Never Land. No, it doesn't.
Never Never Land. I guess Peter Pan's up there.
Jack and the Beanstalk. And Led Zeppelin.
Yeah, well, they ascended to great heights musically. I'm glad you finally agree with me. So, for this, I think we need to go to Ephesians 1. Wait, that is so exciting that Jesus can be located. Christ can be located, and he's not on earth. And there is the Greek word for heaven is Uranus, and it means see up. See up. Those are the English elements of the Greek word Uranus, the heavens. Whenever you look up, that's heaven. It's not on the earth. It's the opposite of earth. There's heaven and there's earth. And then there's on heavens. The birds fly in heaven. Jesus said, consider the birds of heaven. Anytime you look up, you're looking into heaven. But then there's epi-Uranos, which is on heavens. There is a realm of space above our atmosphere, and that is translated celestial in the Concordant version. It is on heavens, and that is where our Lord is. Satan is the god of the air, which means that he's running rampant on the earth, but our Lord is seated at the right hand of God in his majesty in the heavens and can be located. And tell me if I'm connecting the dots good here.
Yeah,
man.
He can be located.
If he can be located, then heaven is, then there is such a place.
Yeah.
And there are kingdoms.
Yes.
In the heavens, there are powers, principalities, authorities, and world mights, Paul says in Ephesians 6, among the heavenlies. In the book of Revelation, there are 24 elders that appear before God. There are organized spiritual powers in this realm. This is not Never Never Land, and we ain't Peter Pan. Ephesians 1:18, Paul's prayer is for the eyes of your heart to be enlightened. This is my prayer for everyone listening. For you to perceive what is the expectation of his calling and what the riches of the glory of the enjoyment of his allotment among the saints and what the transcendent greatness of his power for us who are believing in accord with the operation of his might, the might of his strength, which is operative in the Christ. Where is he? Listen to this, verse 20. Rousing him from among the dead and seating him at his right hand among the celestials. Celestials are spiritual beings that live in this realm above our atmosphere. How literal is that? Up over every sovereignty and authority and power and lordship and every name that is named, not only in this eon, but also in that which is impending. There is an eon impending. Isn't that exciting? There's going to be a time period following this crappy one. And he subjects
not
all
according to that letter.
Not according to that letter.
No.
God does
already
everything at once.
Saved,
we're already saved. We're already in the kingdom. The kingdom is not literally coming. It comes figuratively in his body. We're continually improving. Yeah, I see a lot of evidence of that. And where is your expectation? So you're so right. You don't have an expectation. The thrilling thing here, Dan, is that we are going to meet the Lord in the air. We are going to be where he now is, seated at the right hand of God among the celestials.
I got to read you another passage. Let's turn to Colossians 3. This is important. Because Paul tells us to locate him first. We have to locate him.
I love this kind of talk. This is exciting.
We have to locate him. Colossians chapter 3. I'm going to read from the King James here. You ready?
Yeah.
If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Now notice what it says. Where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. So first, what do we got to do? What's the first thing we're supposed to do here?
Be seeking.
Seeking what?
Where Christ is.
All right, so first we got to locate him.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You have to locate Christ.
Uh-huh.
Now we've located him.
He's seated at the right hand of God.
Verse 2, set your affection on things above.
You mean Never Never Land?
Never Never Land. Not on things on the earth. Isn't there a distinction?
Heaven and earth.
Where Christ is and on earth.
I thought they were all one, heaven
and earth.
Now
here it is. Here's a Never Never Land. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. You ready? When Christ, whenever, no time element, we don't know when, no signs to look forward to, like Israel.
Yeah, right.
When you see these signs come to pass, look up, for your redemption draweth near. No signs connected with the so-called, he calls it rapture, right?
He calls it
no
rapture. Sign. We don't.
When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him where?
In glory.
When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Right now, Christ is at the right hand of God. He's even hidden to the celestial realm. And there's coming a day when he's going to be manifested even in heaven itself. And we will be there with him in glory. We are a group of people that have a destiny that's not earthbound. It's heavenbound where Christ now sits. That revelation is peculiar to Paul's letters only. Never before Paul did anyone have a hope of being manifested with Christ in glory. Job said he will see him on the earth. Job 14, Job 19. I know that my Redeemer liveth, and he will stand in the latter days upon the earth. And he speaks about his resurrection on the earth. But you and I, dear one, you and I, if you're a believer in Christ today, you believe Paul's message, we are going to be manifested with him in glory. This is not Never Never Land. Not Never Never Land. First, locate him. Where is he? He's in heaven, on the right hand. And that's where we're going, baby. That's where we're going.
And we're not saying Peter's not going to end up there someday, but he has some work to do on the earth first for 1,000 years. But folks, when God's all in all, everybody's going to be wrapped up into one. But until that time, we have to distinguish those things that God distinguishes. Let's give him some credit for knowing what he was talking
about.
That's right,
shall
we?
Woo-wee.
What are we going to do tomorrow, Sheridan? Oh, I want to talk about our realm being
inherent. Well, tomorrow's going to be a new year.
Tomorrow's a new year.
2010 tomorrow.
2010, you know. Yeah, it could be an exciting year.
May our friend in Alabama locate him before then.
Amen. We'll see you tomorrow, because we work on the holidays.